Welcome to the Bold Christian Ministry. If you're joining us today, and you are very much welcome, we thank God for how the Lord has been helping us. I want to believe God has been always been faithful to us. Of course, it's a good thing to be in the presence of God. It's a privilege to come into His presence to hear His word and what He has to say to us by His Spirit. You're welcome to the Bold Christian Ministry, where love and hope is established. The mandate of the ministry is to proclaim the love of God and the hope of eternal life through the gospel and faith of Jesus Christ. This is the Bold Christian Ministry. If you're joining us, and I want to say a very big welcome to you, and I believe that God will bless you as you have decided to join in the meeting today. Today is a Bible study, so what we do is to look at God's word and see what He has in store for us. So I want to welcome you once again, and I pray that as you tag along in studying the word today, the Lord God Almighty will bless us in Jesus' name. And the Lord God Almighty will bless you in Jesus' name. You're welcome once again. Before we proceed, we'd like to go into the mood of prayer. Let us bow our heads as we begin to praise the name of the Lord, as we begin to bless the name of the Lord for making it possible for us to be gathered together today. It's a time of refreshing in the presence of God. Anytime we are privileged to be in His presence, to learn at the feet of Jesus. He is the one we are here to listen to, not ourselves, not even the speaker. We are just here to hear what the Spirit of God has to say to us through His word today. Let's bow our heads as we begin to tell the Lord to bless our lives today. First, we want to thank God for what the Lord has been doing in our lives and how the Lord has been helping us and how the Lord has been caring for us. He's a faithful God. He's ever loving, ever present, and He has made it possible as well for us to be gathered in His presence today. Let's pray that as we've come, the Lord God Almighty will bless us through His word in the name of Jesus Christ. The entrance of His word gives light and understanding unto the simple. Let's pray that the entrance of His word will give us light so that we'll be able to see clearly in these dark days. Let's pray that the Lord God Almighty will bless our lives and will make His word to come to us. Just one word from God can transform our lives. Just one word from Him can change the path in which, you know, we are treading on currently. And I pray that God Almighty will bless our lives in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Our righteous God and ever the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we bless your name for making it possible for us to be at your presence today. Thank you, Lord, for how you've been helping us all through the week. Thank you, Lord, for making this day a possibility for us. Thank you, Lord, because you're ever faithful, ever present. Thank you, O God, for all that you do for us. We pray that as we listen to your word today, we pray that you will bless our lives in Jesus' name. Help us, O Lord, to receive that which you have in store for us in the name of Jesus. Let your word mix with faith in our hearts and perform the purpose to which it will be delivered today in our lives. Unto us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for we know it is done. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. 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 You're welcome to the Bold Christian Ministry once again. And this is a moment of Bible study where we begin to look at the Word of God in its in its entirety and what God has to say to us. And you might have seen in the flyer what the subject of today is and what we'll be looking at today as far as the Bible study is today. The topic is the audacity of Christ's gospel. The audacity of Christ's gospel. And we're trusting God to help us in the study for today to bring counsel to his word and to reveal his mind to us through his word himself. And I want to believe that our lives will not remain the same in Jesus' name. So we're looking at the message today is the audacity of Christ's gospel. I'll be looking at our text for in the book of Romans. The book of Romans will be taken from the book of Romans chapter 1 in verse 16. Romans 1 in verse 16. I'll be reading verse 16 and verse 17. It says, therefore, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So the audacity of Christ's gospel is what we're looking at today. And I want to believe when Paul was writing this open letter to the people in Rome, it was an open letter, and it made him understand to the context in which he is writing, because the book of Romans talks about it really talks about how our faith emerged. That's how our faith came into being. If you read from Romans chapter 1 in verse from Romans chapter 1, 2 and 3, Paul the Apostle tried to educate the people in Rome to make them understand, because if one is called a Christian and does not know the basis in which he is a Christian, why are you called a Christian? What was mixed together that brought out about you being a Christian? If we don't understand that basis, then our journey in our walk with God will be full of doubts, will be full of a lot of things that may affect our walk with God. So Paul the Apostle laid the foundation and educated the people in Rome to make them understand that this gospel being preached, this good news being brought to you, it's a gospel that has the capacity, that has the ability of correcting and setting in order those who are not inconsistent, who are not walking inconsistently with the will, with the divine will of God. So it's important for us to understand that the gospel here talks about the good news, talks about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ into the world to die for our sins and rose again, and then so that we can be justified, we can receive forgiveness of sin and the hope of eternal life through him who came into the world to die for our sins. So when you begin to read the book of Romans chapter 1, talks about the foundation, the the originality of our faith, of our Christian, of our faith, it talks about the bedrock of our faith. Paul the Apostle made a comment to the church in Galatians chapter 1. He made them understand that there are different gospels being preached, but this one is the original, is the originality of God's of the delivery of Christ, of God's intention to mankind. And that's the purpose of God sending Jesus Christ into the world. So it was trying to, in the book of Galatians chapter 1, Paul the Apostle tried to educate those who are in the church in Galatians to make them understand that the gospel, if this gospel that I'm preaching or that you first receive is different from what you are hearing now, then it's a false gospel, because they are false gospels. So if what you are hearing now is different from what you heard from me, that is a false gospel. So you have to do away with that gospel. So any gospel that doesn't talk about Jesus Christ coming into the world to save the people from their sin, to save us from sin, to redeem us so that we can walk in the newness of life, we can walk in righteousness so that we can be justified. If it doesn't talk about Jesus coming in the flesh to die for our sins, that he rose again so that we can receive forgiveness of sin and we can have the hope of eternal life, that is a false gospel. That is a false gospel. Now, the book of Galatians chapter 1 talks about, in verse 8, it says, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." So if anyone comes in with a different gospel, probably that does not have a basis of identifying with Christ or talking about Christ coming into the world to die for our sins and to that he rose again, that we can be justified and have the hope of eternal life, that we can be cleansed from our sins and all, that gospel is a false gospel. So you have to reject that. And perhaps you are listening to the sound of my voice, and that is what you have walked with for years. And the gospel being preached to you, or the gospel, or where the church you are attending does not identify with Jesus Christ coming in the flesh into the world to die for our sins, you are in the wrong place. Now, the gospel came to us. It has an audacity, is fearless, is bold, and is able to correct the errors of mankind. That's the purpose of God sending Jesus into the world to die for our sins. The gospel that Christ preached, that is the real gospel. And perhaps you are in doubt, because sometimes when messages like this are being preached, a lot of people are in doubt. They are kind of like, okay, how can it be possible? How is it possible for someone to just sacrifice himself? Then from there we are. Then it means you would have to take a journey on your own to really be able to dig out the hidden things that was done in the past when Jesus came into the world. You would have to. The confession of faith is tied to believing that something exists. And perhaps you are in a doubt. You are kind of like, okay, I don't believe what you are saying. Then you'd have to take a personal journey, and you would have to trust the personality of God called the Holy Spirit, one of the Trinity, you have to trust him to aid your journey. That means you have to take a journey, because when the gospel of Christ is preached, it is preached to them who do not believe, so that they can through faith believe in that which is said and documented by the scriptures. Before Jesus came, there have been prophecies that a Messiah is going to come. So what I am saying here is that if you doubt any of these, then you as an individual, you will need to now take your own personal journey, that you want to know what is hidden here, which is, of course, you can do that, which is possible for you. You have to sit down and you have to ask, because you cannot journey without the person of the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of God that will now guide you into the truth. It will guide you and teach you the truth. And if you want to begin that, you'd have to start from the book of John, St. John. You read the book of Romans so that you'll be able to know where you belong. Either you want to believe the gospel or you do not want to believe the gospel. And that is a personal journey you would have to take. Now, the gospel came to bring order to mankind. Is the power of God. It demonstrates the power of God, the wisdom of God, the justice system of God, the righteousness of God at all. That is the purpose of the gospel, is to correct, because when we live in a society that is not in order, perhaps you are an individual that finds yourself, maybe you've been living a life that is not inconsistent with the will of God, because there is a will of God, there is a purpose of God for why you are created, why we are created. And that's the purpose of the gospel, is to put us in order, in the right perspective, in the way God wants us to do things. In the Garden of Eden, when man sinned against God, when Eve ate the fruit, gave it to Adam, Adam ate the fruit, it has altered the program of God. There is a programming of God in the life of man. We live in a society where even the government needs help. They need a divine help from God. Because right now we are in a situation where a divine help is needed. And until the gospel enters into the government, everything will just be the way it is. There are a lot of people who are not supposed to be in governance, they are there. The gospels will put you in the right shape. Perhaps you come from a family where things are not in order. Husband is fighting with the wife. Wife is, you know, everything is just in chaos. Siblings are not getting along together. It's because the gospel is missing. And that's the audacity. There is an order. The gospel is fearless. It can correct kings, governors, princes, whatever category of society status you may have acclaimed, the gospel does not respect you. It's meant, is here to put you in order. That is the reason for the gospel. Because the life of a man is full of enemies, miscalculations, calculated errors by man, things that are... So you will need the gospel to stay in balance, to know the mind of God for our individual lives, or for our family, or for the governing of any nation. So it gives perspective into God's intention to weigh into the affairs of his creation. That's the purpose of the gospel. There is a perspective, there is an intention God wants to reveal to man that no, this, you've been doing this for years. This is not how things are supposed to be done. Can I weigh into this so that I can set you in the right order? Now, when you begin to study the Bible, you will discover that there are two things that I personally have discovered about the gospel. The gospel that was introduced, which of course, from time to time, God has always been, has always expressed interest in man. So, number one, it talks about the expression of God's interest in man. God is always interested in his creation and in his creatures. Those he created is always interested in them. So this is not the first time God is sending messengers. God has always been sending messengers. He has always, if you read through the Old Testament, there's someone God will find and will say, okay, communicate this message to these people. During the time of Noah, he said, communicate this message. I'm going to rain a flood. Do this, put things in order. During the time of Moses, the same thing. He has always been sending Isaiah. He has always been sending messengers. Till Malachi, he's always sending messengers. But then he sent John. Even after John, he now sent his son. He's always sending so that what he can, he's always interested in his creation. Always interested in those he created. So God has always been interested. So the Bible talks about the expression of God's interest in mankind, and it talks about how God intends to administrate. So there's an aspect of God that talks about the expression of God, and there's an aspect that talks about the administration of God. Because a man's life is unstructured. This Satan obstructed the thing God was trying to do with Adam and Eve to set them in the right perspective on how they should go. So the enemy came and then. So from that time, God has always wanted to correct that error, even to today as we speak. When he sent Jesus Christ, a lot of people, probably you are listening to this message and you are in doubt, I don't believe it. When you begin to take inventory of your life as someone who is, you are listening to the message, but you are taking inventory of your life, say, everything is good, don't let us deceive ourselves, some things are not right. So when you take inventory of your life, you begin to see some of your miscalculation, some of the things, because man is supposed to operate in the will of God, not outside the will of God. So there's a path, there's a shape that God wants you to take. There is a walk, there is a way he wants you to live your life. Perhaps you see someone who rose from being a salesperson to being a regional manager, and it doesn't mean fulfillment. That does not mean that person is fulfilled. Anything won't do without any insights into the original will of God for our lives. It cannot bring fulfillment. Cannot bring fulfillment. Now, man is supposed to take God along on his journey. You want to take a step, you say, God, what do you think about this? If you don't do that, it means you have edged God out of your journey in life. And at the end of the day, you rise to the top. I've seen people who are retired civil servants, who are retired, they work in a public space, even private sectors. At the end of, when they took inventory of their life, there is no fulfillment. Though they completed 35 years of service, but there is not, it's all, when they now finished, they now started looking, hunting for God. So what I'm saying here is that God wants to aid our journey so that we'll be able to walk in his will
Because millions, thousands of people are walking outside of the will of God. Yes, they can be driving huge cars, expensive, wearing expensive things and so, you know, living in a large house with, you know, with gold. That does not bring fulfillment. Doesn't bring fulfillment. Because what? They may think they are where they should be, but they may not be where they should be. And some are where God wants them to be, but they are not walking in line with God, what God wants them to execute where they are. So at the end of the day, they finish their 35 years of service, or they finish their, and then there's no fulfillment. There's still a vacuum that needs to be filled. So the reason for the gospel is to put us in order. So first, there is an expression of God's interest in man. That's the reason why he has always been sending messengers. He's still sending. Take my gospel here. Take my gospel here. Take my gospel here. Take my message here. Take my through his son Jesus Christ. And then he sending messengers. Because why? Because a lot of people have wondered, just like Adam and Eve rebelled against God, that's the way some of us are living. Yeah, many are living that way, rebelling against God. God will say, do this. Say, no, I don't want to do this. It's going to slow me down. It will take me 3 years. If I go this way, it's going to take me 3 years. I don't want to go this way. And you begin to bring all your arguments and everything before God, and he says, you don't know more than your creator. Can you let... The gospel is meant to put us in order. That's the purpose of the gospel, the good news. So when a man decides to give his life to Christ and to say, oh Jesus, I accept that I'm a sinner, I confess my sins, and you mention those sins you've committed, and then if there's any covenant I've entered into knowingly or unknowingly, okay, I renounce those covenants right now. Please cleanse me with your blood. I write my name in the book of life. And then the person made those confessions. And then the person now begins to align his way with God. You now discover that there is a life that God wants you to live. When you allow Jesus into your life, and the Holy Spirit, it will begin to adjust the lens of our life the way God intended. So it's revealing his intention. That's the reason why God revealed his intention through dreams. Some people will sleep and they see themselves probably in a public space, you know, maybe in a particular company. Maybe they even study what they study in school has to do with art, or had to do with something, and they found themselves in an oil sector. And they begin to ask themselves, what am I doing in the oil sector? And perhaps maybe they are teaching in a place. And then they begin to... God communicate his mind to us from time to time. And until the fullness of the gospel has saturated a man, you will be the miscalculation, several miscalculations. Man will be full of errors. Because before the word, God, there are things that are hidden that we don't know about. When you read the book of Hebrews chapter 1, you find out that, you know, it says here, God who has sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet, at in this last day spoken unto us by his Son, who he had appointed heirs of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being brightness of his glory and the express image of his Son, and upholding all things. What I wanted to look at is in verse 2, he said, by whom he made the worlds. Sometimes you read some things in the Bible and you begin to ask yourself, he made the worlds. So what are the worlds that God made? You know, and you begin to rush to read other things. Take a pause and read those things. So God is in business of creation And he knows what is best for us. When he made you, he made us in so that we, through him, can begin to take the journey of our life from his own standpoint, not from our own, not what we want to do, what his own, what he wants to fulfill. Because every man has an assignment in the world. Either you're in a public space, either you're outside the public, the God, whether you're in the family, there is something God wants to achieve through that family. So if the family is not in synchronism with the will of God, what the purpose of God cannot be fulfilled. The purpose of God can only be fulfilled if we find ourselves, if we align our ways through the gospel being preached to us. The gospel is meant to correct us, put us in shape. Anyone that does not walk in the gospel that is presented by Jesus Christ is living in error. Error. By the time the person gets old, maybe he's now 68, or he's now, he would then discover that, oh, I've wasted years. Yeah, this is the original thing. So, in John chapter 3, in verse 16, Nicodemus, after spending years, yes, as one of the Pharisees, one of the Sanhedrin, he went to Jesus by night, and Jesus said, "You are a teacher of the, you are supposed to know all these things." But because of his their ignorance, he said, "Thou art the teacher come from God." He was talking to Jesus. He said, "Look at how old Nicodemus was then. He has wasted. That's how a lot of us are living. We are wasting time. We think the gospel is just there, just is to set us in order. Set us in order. So Nicodemus realized that what I'm doing is not the right thing. It's like this man, he knows what he's talking about. In the book of Luke chapter 1 in verse 1, talks about, "For as much as many have taken," Luke chapter 1 verse 1, "for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they deliver them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus." This is Luke educating Theophilus about certain things that are true, just the way that I'm saying that this gospel, he does not respect kings, he does not respect governors. It's meant to correct. If you are walking in error as a governor or as a prince or as a man, as an husband or as a wife or as a child, or it's meant to correct you, to put you in order. Because if a man's life is not in order, that man is capable of different things that we can't begin to talk about now. It's capable of errors. It is capable of, is a dangerous species that is living in the world. That person is a dangerous species. It's now a dangerous species. The gospel is the power of God. The power of God unto salvation. So if we find anybody that has not yet accepted Christ's gospel, or that person is a danger. He's heading towards the person. You know what? It's time that we tell. When the person now leave old, he's now like 57. The person will now sit down and say, "Oh, all these years I've wasted." Just like Nicodemus, he wasted his time. He wasted. There are prophets were saying to set things in order. He now came to this. He said, Jesus told him, "Except a man be born again, you can never see the kingdom of God." So the John chapter 3 verse 16 talks about the expression of God's interest in mankind, that for God so loved the world, He sent. He has always been sending. He's sending, 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 sending. God is sending. Even till today, he's still sending messengers. Jesus Christ is still sending so that people can hear it and they can. It's still the same gospel. Still the same gospel. So the second thing talks about the administration of God. God wants to administer things in the world he created. Because man's life is unstructured. Anybody that you see and is not walking in line with the gospel is living an unstructured life. He's not... he said that man is successful. He drives limousine. He drives the latest Mercedes-Benz. He's in the... He owns five companies, you know, Fortune 500 companies in the world. He's a multi... That's an unstructured life. Because that man though, is not capable of entering into the kingdom of God. Does not, and the rest, he is not fulfilling what God wants him to fulfill. If you are not walking in the gospel, if you have not allowed the gospel to shape your life, that's the reason why when some things are done, someone will take money and then money that is meant for 10 people, only one person will swallow it. It shows that that person, there is a gospel missing somewhere. So the audacity of Christ's gospel is to put us in check. I want us to begin to take a look at our lives and start taking inventory of our lives. Do we have the gospel? Has the gospel taken effect in our lives? Have we come to an understanding of the reason why God sent his son? To preach the message, the gospel, the good news of repentance so that we can change our lives and begin to align ourselves in the divine will of God. Let's begin to take an inventory of our lives. And as we take an inventory of our lives and we discover that we have not accepted that gospel, or you are doubting, then that individual will need to take his own personal journey into things that he will need to know, and he will need the aid of the Holy Spirit to execute that. I want to believe we have been blessed today. Let's close our eyes as we begin to talk to the Lord. Let's begin to talk to the Lord on this matter. Let's begin to talk to God. Let's open our mouths and talk to God that he will pardon us, he will forgive, because we need mercy at this time. We need mercy. Let's pray that God Almighty, in his infinite mercy, will forgive us of our ignorance. And he will begin to shape our life the way he wants to shape our lives. Let's begin to talk to God. If we have not accepted the gospel of salvation, that is the real gospel. Any other gospel that is different from that is a false gospel. Paul the apostle made it known to the church in Galatians that if any man or an angel, anybody from anywhere, any tribe, any language, anywhere at all, preach any other gospel different from the one that was presented to you about Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. That is not the right gospel. This one that I preached to you about Jesus coming into the world to die for our sins, that is the real gospel. Let's begin to ask God that God will help us. And if we have not been saved, let's begin to ask God for forgiveness of sins. And God will pardon our sins and forgives our trespasses. As long as we are sincere with him, he will forgive our sins. And I pray that the Lord God Almighty will touch our lives, will transform our hearts, and then will forgive our sins and our trespasses in Jesus' name. Father, in Jesus' name. Our righteous God in heaven, we thank you for today. We bless your name. Thank you, O Lord, for your word that has come to us. Thank you, O Lord, for educating us through your word. Thank you, O Lord, for we know that the gospel have the power to transform life, to change lives, to give us a better hope, a better future, a life, to live a life that you, our God, has designed for us. Lord, I pray that as many that have not yet received this gospel of salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that you will touch their hearts in Jesus' name. And as many that are ready to receive Christ as their Lord and personal Savior, I'm praying, oh God, that you forgive them their sins, purge them from their sins, forgive their sins and their trespasses in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, as they accept your only Son, Jesus, oh God, I pray that you have mercy upon them, oh God, in Jesus' name. Write their names in the book of life. Thank you, Father. Give them the power to sin no more. Give them the grace to walk with you in Jesus' name. Give them the grace to walk in the newness of life in Jesus' name. Give them the power to sin no more in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for when it is done. Jesus' name we pray.